Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. The first order of business for this evening will be the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda at this time?
Apparently there are, and we got a revision.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, case number 9580 was withdrawn.
Make a motion to approve the agenda with the change.
Have a second to that motion? Have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we approve this evening's agenda with the change of case number 9580 being withdrawn. All those in favor of the motion, get a usual voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Next will be the approval of the minutes of our last regular meeting.
So moved.
Have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our last regular meeting. All those in favor of the motion, get the usual voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Burrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time and place for the conduct of public hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are 14 hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion, those hearings will be conducted as follows. The application will be announced, and the applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The board may ask questions of the applicant as well as any witness. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. It's not necessary that you speak in order to register your approval or disapproval for a particular application, and the board will ask for a show of hands. The board may ask questions of anyone who does choose to speak. Once all the testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case is either voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening and view deliberations at the end of the agenda, or you may call the board's office in the morning for the result. For the courtesy of those here this evening, those of you who have cell phones or pagers, we would appreciate it if you would turn those off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. First case, please.
Case number 9575, David and Annie Allen, northwest of Road 535, 54 feet east of Brown Street, being lots 2, 3, and 4 within Charles G. Friedel subdivision, variance from front yard and side yard setback requirement. Name and address.
Mark Allen, 10570 Old Furnace Road, Seaford, Delaware.
Yes, sir. You swear testimony you're about to give, true and correct, best knowledge.
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Hello.
You explained to the board your request for these two variances?
Yes. The property that I have was part of the Friedel subdivision, which was done in about 1954. The property was obtained by my father in 1962, and subsequently I was able to purchase it from his estate. And the way the property was laid out is this particular property is a through lot. It goes from Middle Ford Road through to a street which is on the plot of the Friedel property called Pine Street. It's approximately 125 feet deep. And when I came to get a building permit to put in a two-car garage pole building, they told me that there were two front yards. I had a front yard on Middle Ford Road, and I had a front yard on Pine Street. Mm-hmm. Well, up until about 6 or 7 years ago, and after about 6 months of getting DOT to get in there and clear the trees out, you could barely get one car down Pine Street. And I've even taken out a bunch of trees myself. It's a little more than an alley. If you look at Pine Street, and I actually have photographs if you'd like to see them.
Yes.
Okay, let me
give them to the secretary, please. Okay.
That I have.
But I've done a scale drawing and chunks up around the board. I think this centers around. Mm-hmm. given the time when these properties were subdivided, I don't know when zoning came in force. I don't, you know, whether it was late 60s or whatever. And I'm not much of a mathematician, but just the front and rear yard setbacks alone in a 125-foot lot takes 56% of the usable amount of my lot away from me. So I'm pretty squeezed. Mm-hmm. Pine Street in the original subdivision shows about a 40-foot right-of-way. You know, if you look at the survey, you'll see that maybe about half of that is actually tar and chipped. Mm-hmm. DOT doesn't really even want to claim it to maintain it. And there are no houses on Middle Ford Road. All the houses on Middle Ford Road face Middle Ford Road or are side to Pine Street. There are no houses fronting on Pine Street. Pine Street is like a rear entrance to all the properties if you've been down it. There's in the photographs, you'll see a basketball court that the kids have. That's actually the site. That's from Pine Street, looking at the site where the building will be.
Okay.
And when I have typical on there was a question in here about other typical structures in the neighborhood. All of those sheds that you see are just sheds within probably 1,000, 1,200 feet of this location. The big gray building is actually directly across the street, the one you have in your hand right there, directly across the street. So what I'm asking for is pretty typical of the neighborhood. There's also, too, another survey, which is probably very similar to what you already have. I had Coastal Soil go in and do some preliminary soil investigations so I wouldn't shoot myself in the foot in terms of septic expansion and future plans, and I have a hashed-in area. If you see lot number one that fronts on Brown Street, I own that, and it's had soil testing done, and it is a viable building lot, so I can't kind of do anything there. It's also a separate parcel.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into the possibility of going with the not-to-exceed 600-square-foot building on property zoned AR1, which this happens to be, and I could get a 5-foot variance by that regulation from the side yard, but the true lot designation does not allow any exceptions to that 30-foot rear yard setback, even if I kept it less than 600 square feet. And I actually just talked with a friend of mine who built one about 600 square feet, and it cost him more than one of these package jobs from these different companies that was probably twice the size. So dollar for dollar, you get more, you know, more place for your junk, I guess, in the bigger units. If you see the little subdivision that I included in there of showing Pine Street, I have lots 2, 3, and 4 designated there, how they back on Pine Street and how they front on Middle Ford Road. Pine Street is a little more than an alley. The only people that I know that really use it are those that live on it. Every once in a while, you'll get somebody that'll go through there. It's not a very well heavily traveled street. The lot itself is kind of cramped in the fact that it doesn't have a whole lot of depth. I've looked into the septic thing. I've tried to position it in a way that I can get a building sizable that I think would be functional for my uses, as well as not get in the way of anything that I could see. I don't think it'll alter the character of the neighborhood. I don't think it'll change the effects of the adjacent properties. I own a property directly across where this building is proposed to go, mm-hmm. and that gray building is over at an angle from where it's proposed to go. I don't think if any of you have ever been down Pine Street, I don't think it'll change anything. There's still a substantial amount of shoulder from the edge of the existing road to the property line before you actually, you know, there's a lot of woods there. And that one picture that I showed that was like a picture of the woods, you can see that it's probably 12 feet from the edge of the macadam to the property line before we'd get into the 5-foot setback.
You believe it to be the minimum variance to afford relief?
You know, I've looked at this a bunch of different ways and tried to figure out the side yard setback. I didn't particularly want to stick it any closer to the property line side yard than 5 feet. But yet I didn't want to encroach over past the alignment of the edge of the house because I need that for future septic expansion. The house is 40 feet wide and 2 bedrooms, so I need that. In my years ago, I used to be a building inspector, and fire separation is always a big deal for me. And I wanted the building to be far enough away from the house. If I had a tractor in it or a car in it or whatever, and I had fire there, since it's just going to be a simple metal sheet building, that I'd be away from the house somewhat. I wanted it to be detached rather than shoved right up against it. So if you look at the picture, I think it probably scales maybe 14 or 16 feet away from the house itself. And it's squeezed where it is. You know, I other than just making it a whole bunch smaller, I don't know any other way.
Okay. Okay, are there any further questions from members of the board? Mr. McKay?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Wharton? Mr. Hudson? Mr. Mills? Hearing no further questions? Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, I believe the applicant satisfactorily addressed the standards for granting a variance. Therefore, I make a motion we approve case number 9575.
Do I have a second to that motion? I have a motion by Mr. Mills with a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 9575. All those in favor of the motion, give you a voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case is approved, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.